Today's episode is brought to you by Prince Street, Dean and DeLuca's monthly podcast dedicated to the delicious and infinite connections between people and food. Each new Prince Street podcast features special guests, field reports, and meals from around the world. Editor-in-Chief Howie Kahn hosts the show, featuring segments from correspondents such as Griffin Dunn, Jay McInerney, Eden Grinspan, and Sierra Tischgart. Download Prince Street on iTunes and online at livefromprincestreet.com. Prince Street, a fresh new podcast with a culinary heart.
Were you into avocado toast before any of your friends? Do you know how to whip up some cashew cream? And do you make your own almond milk? If so, you're our kind of person, and you might be interested in the classes at the Natural Gourmet Institute for Health and Culinary Arts, located in the heart of Manhattan. Founded in 1977, NGI is the first culinary school dedicated to healthy cooking to be accredited nationally. Their professional chef's training program is offered full and part-time, and several of our favorite chefs are alumni, including Dirt Candy's Amanda Cohen, Alyssa Wagner of Dimes, and Chloe Coscarelli of By Chloe. Visit the NGI website to learn how you can transform your life and your career. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm Carrie Diamond, co-founder and editorial director of Cherry Bomb, the indie magazine about women and food. Starting today and continuing through the summer, we'll be sharing all the talks and panels from this year's Cherry Bomb Jubilee, our annual celebration of women in the world of food. Our third annual Jubilee took place earlier this year on April 10th at the Highline Hotel in Manhattan and gave us the chance to welcome and network with more than 300 women from around the country, and a few from abroad. Heritage Radio Network, the home of Radio Cherry Bomb, was on site recording the day's proceedings. We certainly hope this year's lineup entertains and inspires you. First, a shout out to our sponsors, Baldor Specialty Foods, which curates and delivers the best and freshest food in the world to the restaurant and hospitality industries. Prince Street, the new fresh podcast with a culinary heart from Dean and DeLuca. And the Natural Gourmet Institute for Health and Culinary Arts, where you can start your journey to becoming a natural foods chef today. This year's conference kicked off with a talk by sisters Jasmine and Melissa Hemsley, the two Londoners better known as Hemsley and Hemsley. They are passionate about healthy food and healthy living and happen to be two of the nicest women we know. Earlier this year, they launched their latest cookbook, Good and Simple, and opened their first cafe in Selfridge's department store in London. In their Jubilee speech, the two delve into their core beliefs and share their 10 keys to happiness and success. We'll hear from Jasmine and Melissa right after this message from Baldor Specialty Foods.
Beginning as Balducci's fruit stand in Greenwich Village 70 years ago, Baldor Specialty Foods has been curating and delivering the highest quality foods in the world to the restaurant and hospitality industries. Chefs rely on Baldor for the freshest and most seasonal ingredients, along with new and exciting items that you just can't get elsewhere. Baldor's ordering process is designed with a chef's schedule and priorities in mind to get you what you need when you need it. Baldor is the trusted resource and partner for the region's top chefs. Learn what Baldor can do for your business today at baldorfood.com.
I actually don't need a mic.
She doesn't. And this is the other difference. When we're nervous, Melissa gets hot and I get cold, which is why I'm
That's
snuggled
why
up.
I wear everything sleeveless.
Hello everyone. Thank you so much for having us. We're very excited to be in New York. We're very excited to be here for our book tour. And we are absolutely honoured to be opening this for you for the third year for the Jubilee. Thanks to the wonderfully inspiring Kerry and Claudia for having us. And just want to let you know, we've just flown in last night. And this weekend is the first weekend of our first cafe in London. So that's how much this means to us to have been here, to come here to do this today. I'm going to cry.
Oh, it's getting emotional up here already. Okay, so Kerry and Claudia, so we've met them a bunch of times now, and we've managed to miss the first two Jubilees. But we've followed all the social media journey and talked to tons of people. And when they asked us to speak, you know, we've done a lot of speaking, but not for something as amazing as this. And actually, we feel quite nervous. Yeah. Just going to put that out there right now.
And normally we kind of Freestyle, and there's usually a cooking pot in front of us, but I've got notes today, so we're not at TED Talk level yet, so we will be looking down. Apologies for that.
This is scarier than a TED Talk. But anyway, so when we were brainstorming on Skype with Claudia and Kerry, and they were saying, just write about what you know, and so we thought, okay, fine, let's do it. We've got 10 minutes, let's do 10 things we know. And, you know, we were like, do we know 10 things? I don't know. There's sort of thousands of things we don't know. And we started making a list. And as we wrote the list, it just felt like it was my mum's nagging list. It was everything mum had said when we were growing up. And it's quite interesting because a lot of what mum taught us and, you know, went on and on about is actually a lot of our philosophy now. And a lot of these 10 things are probably what maybe if you're a mum, you say to your kids, maybe your mum said to you. So we thought we'd go through it. And last night when I was in my hotel room, you know, trying to wind down and make sure I got some sleep and, you know, no jet lag, I started reading it and I thought, I'm really going to enjoy this talk because it was a reminder to myself as I wrote the list of the things that I need to do. So hopefully you're going to find it a little bit useful to you too. So shall we do it?
So kick off with our 10 things that we have that work for us. So number one is follow your bliss. Do what makes you happy. Follow the path of least resistance. If you're struggling with the concept or with the idea of some of the people that you're working with, it's never actually going to get easier. So look for something that makes you happy and remember it's passion. Passion makes the project. Passion is what gets you to the new adventure in your life or your calling. And when it all kicks off and the shit hits the fan, just remember that it's passion that got you here and it's passion that's going to get see you through to the other side.
Are we allowed to swear? Isn't this a former religious building?
I couldn't think of another word for shit.
I hope Kerry doesn't get a fine for that.
And remember as well that bliss and passion is extremely infectious. So if you put it out there, if you show off what you really believe in, naturally the people that are going to help you to make this a thing will gravitate towards you. So we didn't aim to start a business. I simply had a passion for wellness and a really big mouth. And we loved cooking. We loved helping people. And it's been hugely rewarding empowering people through food. And this makes us happy.
Okay, number two, dream and dream big and be really playful with your dreams. So Jazz and I, following on from what Jazz said, we were on a beach in Sydney about 6-7 years ago, and it was Jazz's 30th birthday, and we were so inspired by Sydney. I don't know if anyone's been. They are so ahead of London, certainly. I mean, I think New York's ahead of us, but in terms of wellness and making it accessible more and more to everybody. So we lay on the beach, and we said, why can't we feel this good all the time? Why do we just feel good on holiday? Why are we kind to ourselves just on holiday? Let's feel good every day. And we said, you know what, maybe... By the way, we weren't working together before that, and we had no plans to. Big sister, little sister, you know, we didn't think we'd ever work together. And we said, why don't we set up a cafe one day? And then we laughed, and we probably, like, turned over and suntanned our backs or something, and it left it like that.
And it started on Monday, so
and
we
it
got
started
there.
On Monday. We yeah. got there. So, yeah, write down your dreams. Visualize them. I sometimes, when I'm brushing my teeth, I run them through in my head because I'm a weirdo. I'm a Virgo. Anyone else a Virgo who likes a list? Yeah, we love a list. And I write my list down everywhere. I repeat the list. So I've got, like, notebooks or, like, I just stole some notepaper from the Highline Hotel in our green room. I'm going to write down my dreams again. And, you know, these can be business dreams. These can be life dreams. Make them happen. Just keep writing them down. And I think another thing is, don't be shy to write down what you really want. No one's going to find that list unless you leave it out. It's okay to really, really be honest. I want this. I'm going to have this. I will be this. So, yeah, supersize your dreams and don't be afraid of them. And, yeah, dream big. That was number two.
Okay, 10 minutes is nearly up.
Isn't it?
We're on number three. Okay. Grow slow and be okay with saying no. We did. We've taken our time seeking out the right things and the right people to say yes to. Don't panic that once you say no, you've closed the doors on something forever. Trust your intuition and don't feel you have to rush into things or be conventional with your business approach. Being flexible, moving slowly and purposely, and being able to self-adjust doesn't just help with yoga. You know, it's really important that so many things and opportunities, you know, this is a big, caring, sharing world. Lots of people are going to put things your way. And you have to know, with your dream list, what is going to build, is what what the right path, what the quickest path is to your dream. So don't get lost with going off here and there. If you do, come back to it. But don't just say yes to everything. Not everything is an opportunity that you should take. Everything's an opportunity, but not necessarily one you should take. So it's really important, and it's the next point that Melissa's going to make just really helps you to get that right.
So the next one, number four. Is it number four now? Are we on four?
Yes.
I'm the evens, I've got to remember. I'm number four. Get with your gut. How does everyone feel about the word gut? Does that make you feel funny? Yeah. Well, we were told...
Ladies love it. Love it.
We were told that gut was an ugly word, and when we were writing our first book, our publisher said, and they're big cookbook publishers in the UK, they went, gut is an ugly word, don't use it. You know, it's not nice in a cooking book. But we said, but cooking is here, and then it goes in here, and then it hangs out here, and then it comes out of here. It's a huge part of it. And they said, no, you know, this is your first book, try and be a little bit, you know, as our mum would say, try and be elegant, but no, we can't, we're sisters, we're very open with what we say. And why are we talking about our gut here? Well, the gut is so important. Getting with your gut, what does this mean? It's about tuning in, it is about listening to your inner voice, and it is about trusting yourself. So this is a big one for us. When people say to us, a little bit like today, you know, maybe write about what you know. And I think, God, what do we know? And, you know, people say, how has your business evolved? Can you tell us about it? Well, we didn't go to business school. I didn't even go to uni, to college. All I can really say with hand on heart is any business decision we've made has been made with our gut. And it's been really scary to follow it at times. And it's not to say we haven't done some analytics, and you know, I like a good old-fashioned pro and con list because I'm a Virgo. But ultimately, whenever the big decisions have been on the plate, we've listened to our gut. And I really urge you, you know, I think deep down we know what's right.
Yeah. So that meant for us, for example, something as big as turning down our first two book offers, and we didn't take one till a year and a half afterwards, which is a huge amount of time in the publishing world. And lots of people said to us, you're silly, you know, you won't get this opportunity again. Lots of people out there like you already. And it was totally the best decision we made. And in fact, our book got fast-tracked and came out at exactly the same time as it would have done had we signed the book deal a year and a half earlier with a different publisher. So it's funny how these little things kind of make good in the end. And point five, okay, so how can you get with your gut and tune in? Well, I might ramble on a bit now. The next one is meditate.
It's a big one.
This one's a big one. It's meditate.
You can have a minute and a half. You can have half of my bit.
Okay, thank you. So meditate. It's time out. It's clearing the desktop. It's rebooting the hard drive. These are all metaphors that we use with our clients. It's filing those papers in your head. You cannot be creative if you do not make space. You know, anyone have that kind of fuzzy head feeling where you're thinking exactly the same thing you were thinking 10 minutes ago and you still haven't resolved it, and the same thing you were thinking yesterday and you still haven't resolved that? We're just thinking the same thing. 90% of the thoughts we have today are the same that we had yesterday. So this is our ego, it's our mind, it's going crazy. We think, therefore we are. Actually, we are is a lot deeper than that. And it comes from inside, and it comes from tuning in to what's happening around you, not necessarily making judgments based on things that have happened before and, you know, things that have happened in the past, which can sometimes come, you know, make you fearful of something and therefore completely cloud your judgment. So meditation has become a non-negotiable for us. It helped us to make that massive decision of saying no to that book deal, and also no to several TV channels until we found the right one, or TV deals.
Does anyone here meditate yet?
Ah, oh, amazing, good. Amazing.
And tell the person next to you later on why it's so good. How it's helped you.
And don't think, because a lot of the times I meet people, I've been doing yoga for over 10 years before I actually learned to meditate, and I thought Shavasana was simply having a doze or maybe thinking about what I was going to do next. You know, I was either out of it or I was thinking, right, I need to go to the shops, I need to get dinner. And don't be put off with that idea of I can't function like that, I can't stop my thoughts. It's literally the act of sitting there, whether you choose to look at your breath, to watch a candle. We do Vedic meditation, which is a form of TM, transcendental. And you're not trying to unblock or get rid of your thoughts or shut down. You're not trying to be a lazy body or somebody who's unaffected by anything out around there. You're actually trying to tune into you. And just by offering yourselves 10 minutes a day, twice a day, if you can't find that time, we're not doing something right. So you need to reassess your life. If you can't find 10 minutes to yourself twice a day in 24 hours, relook at the way you're living. Another thing to look at is the old Zen saying. I always love this one. It says, You should sit in meditation for 20 minutes a day, unless you're too busy, of course. Then you should sit for an hour. And by the way, 20 minutes of meditation is said to be the equivalent to 3 hours sleep. So you can see just how powerful this stuff is, especially when we're so sleep deprived. Which leads us on to... No, it doesn't. We're going to come back to it in a minute. Right, number six.
Number six is detox your life. Okay, so we all know we're all detoxing all the time. We're going to the loo, we're sweating, we're breathing, all of that. But we wanted to talk about detoxing everything that comes, that's not just your body and your mind. Jazz talked a little bit about meditation and dumping thoughts. That's a lot how I think about it, dumping worries. But detoxing your life. So, okay, so straight away this morning, what did I do to detox? So I was tongue scraping. Anyone tried that? Yeah. Tell your neighbor. Oil pulling. Ooh, yes, bit of that. Okay, find the people that put their hands up and ask them about oil pulling later on.
Body only two, by the way, so you'll get a cue.
Body brushing, exercising, all these things that we're doing, eating well. But okay, how about everything else around us? So what are the little things we can be doing to start tweaking little things here and there every day to make our life that bit better? And I'm talking about something as simple as
digitally detoxing.
That is so hard. When I was practicing, I got it right. Digitally detoxing. How often do people digitally detox? I'm just going to call it the double D. digitally detoxing. I actually put an out of office on my emails and said... you know, subject line, obviously cheesy, was coming to America. So I said to everyone, even though our cafe is just like operating without us, I said, I'm basically not on emails for the next 10 days. I'm going to really, really enjoy spring in New York. And I felt really guilty typing it out. And then I pressed, you know, when you put an out of office on, and I pressed like send or enter or whatever it was, and I felt amazing. And I know that nothing crazy is going to happen that I can't control. Have you put your out of office on yet?
No, but the funny thing is, like, I emailed Melissa yesterday and I got an email back from her, and then I got her out of office. So
okay, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. But my point was, to most people, okay, Jazz, I've got to get back to her emails or she'll call my hotel room because she knows where I am. But to everybody else, life is going to go on without us. So how about, you know that thing where, anyone tried it, that holiday email thing where it deletes your emails? Do you know about that? So apparently there's this thing that you can set up. When you're on holiday, you can say a little out of office and you can say, these emails are all going to be deleted. So anything you send me while I'm away will be deleted. And it's supposed... How amazing is that? So then you go back to the office on your day after your holiday and you don't have 5 gazillion emails to read from. You know, and following those chains, my God. You know, so you don't have that. And it means it teaches the sender to stop just throwing emails into the ether. And also, if they really want you, they'll call you on your first day back and you can deal with it. And probably 90% of those issues that someone BCC'd you or CC'd you or round robin emailed
you
on could just go away. So yeah. I wasn't brave enough to try that this time.
We don't even know the name of the program. We do know it exists, though.
But I'm going to try it next time. Okay, so what else can you do to detox? So this is a bit of a scary one. I'm just going to put it out there because, you know, today we're making new friends, but how many of us have got people around us that maybe don't add to our lives, and we actually feel stressed out just thinking about them or making plans to see them? I don't know. Everyone's murmuring. I'm sure it's not the person sitting next to you. I'm 30 now, and when I was planning my 30th birthday, I actually started to have a little bit of anxiety about it because I thought, I should invite this person. I should do it with this person. What should I be doing on my 30th? Should I be being with people because they want me to be with them and get drunk? Or should I just go and do what I wanted to do, which was absolutely nothing? And I learned a lot on that 30th birthday, and I thought, I know the people around me that elevate me, that make me feel amazing, and that make me genuinely laugh out loud every moment that I'm with them. And I know the people that don't. So maybe, I don't know, that was something very interesting I learned this year. Next one.
Okay, number seven is fight what you know is right. For what? I left out a word there. Fight for what you know is right. Okay, so as we have hinted to before, we've been told a lot that what we're doing is ahead of our time, or not to kind of use the words, you know, boil your bones or get with your gut or gut health in our cookbooks, and that we should compromise because we'll reach a wider audience. That soaking quinoa wasn't accessible enough, that supermarkets wouldn't sell coconut oil, so therefore our recipes wouldn't get made. Even our publishers were once sceptical that spiralising wouldn't catch on. And now courgette, as we call it in the UK, or zoodles, as you call it here, are available on the supermarket shelves. So in the UK, I don't know if they have them here, do they? Yeah, oh yeah. Collie rice? Yeah, broccoli rice? Yeah, it's all here. It's all here, it's all arrived. So look how things have changed. Look how fast, how quickly everything can change. You know, we've come out of this kind of 80s, 90s, noughties idea of work hard, play hard. If you want to... If you want to get ahead, you have to be like a guy. If you have to give up, you have to sacrifice everything. You have to fret and be a complete cow, maybe. I mean, there's this that idea that to get somewhere, you have to tread on a lot of people. And I think we're really moving into an age now where we're actually realizing that love is the currency. Love is the way to get where you want to go. Love is the way that gets you where you want to go, because... How many stories have we heard of millionaires or people who are highly successful, but they're having nervous breakdowns behind closed doors, or they're not happy? They're not happy. They're comparing themselves to something else. They haven't found what it is that makes them tick. They haven't found the kind of secret to life. And I think that's one thing we need to know is fight for what you know is right all the time. And it's that will attract all the great stuff to you.
Okay, number 8, sleep more. This is going to be a quick one because you all know it. Sleep. Why should we sleep more? Okay, sleep heals. Sleep is free. Sleep is easy. It makes you feel amazing. Why don't we do it more? One of the things I try to do, and is not working at the moment because I've got a dog, but I try and just keep my bed for sleeping, you know. That's probably what we should all be doing. So we went to go and see Arianna Huffington talk a couple of years ago, and she said, and this is the thing I remember the most because she kind of mimed it out. She was like, every night I gently escort all my digital appliances and things out of the room. And I went home that night and said to my boyfriend, and he was like, how's your Arianna Huffington talk? And he said, I said, well, the one thing I learned and the one thing she said, the only thing you remember, she said, is buy a cheap alarm clock. She said, because the number of people that tell me they have to have their phones in their room because they have to set the alarm with the phone. So that's why they've got to have their iPhone by their heads all night, every night, and look at it last thing at night, which just stimulates you, and look at it first thing in the morning, which just stresses you the hell out because you start reading all the emails. She's like, cut it out. Buy an alarm clock and life will be so much better. So a big thing for that is sleep more. And our mum used to say it, Jazz and I, a bit like what you just said with the go slow, is it's so tempting to go to, especially in New York, all these amazing talks, these after class curricular activities, exercise, do brunch, go and be with nature. But you can't keep winging it without sleep. And when I was a bit younger, Jazz, who's the older sister, used to say to me, you're not invincible. And I was like, I am, I'm 18. I don't need to sleep. And she would watch me like get through the whole year and end up Christmas Day on the sofa and I just pass out for a week. And I think we all know now, we're not machines. We can't do that anymore, the rest of us. Any of us that are 30 plus, we know we've got to be kind to ourselves. We've got to get that sleep in. So yeah, sleep is free, it's easy, and it heals. So that's our big one. That's probably my most important one.
Make your bed your haven. Okay, number 9 is work with people greater than you. So surround yourself with inspiring people, be they chefs, in our case, accountants, social media gurus. Learn through them and from them. They will have made all the mistakes before which... Can't read my writing here.
Let someone else write your script as
well. They'll have made all the mistakes before you, so now you can avoid them. And of course, there's a lot to be said to getting stuck into your business and knowing all the details, how to do this, researching how to start the licenses, where to get this from. You know, it's great to know your business inside and out when you first make it. That means a lot. And it can be very difficult, letting go of your baby. But once it starts to crawl, let it be free. Get the people in, get what it needs for it to really take off. You know, learn how to use people's skills, learn how to know what you're good at, and then learn how to delegate. And that way you're going to go leaps and bounds. Otherwise, you'll get stuck in the detail all the time.
Okay, last one. Right, we're in our last 51 seconds. Okay, so no surprise, but our last one is food related. Okay, so health is wealth. We all know that. So people say to us all the time, my gosh, you know, are you going to run out of healthy eating recipes? You know, do you have enough for a third book? And we're like, hang on a minute, since when did healthy eating become a thing that might run out? You know, everything, it's all around us. Look at the amazing food we've got here today. But I wanted to say to you, our number 10, our biggest thing is make soup. Okay, we love soup. Soup is the one, hands up there, yes. Soup is the one and only recipe you will ever need. Soup should be taught. How to make soup should be the first lesson that kids learn, okay? You don't need anything. It's a big bowl of goodness. What do you need? You need a flame and a pot. You don't even need a blender. No one really cares if it's silky smooth. If it's chunky, it just means you slow down and chew more, which is even better.
Don't need any knife skills. You can just rough chop. You can just throw it in there and cook it whole. It's
so
really easy.
Yeah. So we say soup for the soul, make soup. And even better if you can make it with bone broth, so much the better. But as much as we love eating out, people always say to us, what is your favourite restaurant? What's your favourite meal? I genuinely believe that a bowl of my own soup is my favourite recipe. How arrogant does that sound? But I think if you know what went into your food and you made it with love because you made it for yourself, nothing beats it. And you know, back in the day, anyone remember this? That when someone was poorly or someone had had bad news or someone was heartbroken, people, neighbours, would go around to people's houses with a big pot, a casserole, a soup or stew. When did we stop doing that? That was the loveliest thing anyone could ever do.
It's soothing, it's heartwarming and it's restorative. You know?
So for me, when I feel sad, I make soup. When someone else I know feels sad, I make them soup. So everybody make soup. Let's bring soup back. And, yeah, that's our number
right.
10.
I've got a quick bonus 11 that
I wrote
in bed last night. It's a quick one. We've run out of time, but I thought I'd throw this one out there because it's a big one to remember. And it's this. So success isn't standing up in front of everybody looking like you've got it all, done it all, and giving tips and tricks about how to do it. For me, success is happiness. And happiness is gratitude for every little thing you have while opening up your heart to the possibility of even more. So I think that's a really important thing to take away. You don't have to be standing in front of people or on telly or anything like that to consider what you've done as success. Success is happiness and you can have it all. Thank you very much,
everybody. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
There you have it. Passion, happiness, gratitude, and following your gut. It's Hemsley & Hemsley's recipe for success. Thanks again to Jasmine and Melissa for coming all the way from London and helping us open this year's Jubilee. If you'd like to be in the loop about tickets for next year's Jubilee in New York and our very first Jubilee in San Francisco, sign up for our mailing list at cherrybomb.com. Thanks to our engineer, Dave Tatasciore, and thanks again to our sponsors for supporting this season of Radio Cherry Bomb. Natural Gourmet Institute for Health and Culinary Arts. Start your journey to becoming a natural food chef today by visiting ngihca.edu. Prince Street, a fresh podcast with a culinary heart. For more, visit livefromprincestreet.com or download the Prince Street podcast from iTunes. Baldor Specialty Foods curates and delivers the best and freshest food in the world to the restaurant and hospitality industries. Learn what Baldor can do for your business today at baldorfood.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. You're the bomb.
My name is Alexa Marabon from Eating NYC. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. To subscribe or learn more about the magazine, visit cherrybomb.com. You know who I think is the bomb? Christina Tosi. She's one of the best pastry chefs of our time.